السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد يسألونك عن الأنفال قل الأنفال لله والرسول فاتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله إن كنتم مؤمنين صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله My noble audience, Alhamdulillah, last week the topic that we discussed was the resolution for the new year. Under this title, we spoke about the formula that will allow us to live this coming one year most productively and constructively. A recap of that in four words: musharata, muraqaba, Mu'akhadha and Mu'aqaba. I'm not going to spend more time on that because we spoke about these four steps that have to be taken by us so we can be the best that we are in this coming new year. On the 30th of September, we started a new topic under the title Brotherhood. And we had to drift away from the title because of the previous topic, Resolution of the New Year. We will return back to the title Brotherhood. I just recited a verse from Surat Anfal. Surat Anfal is the 8th surah of the glorious Quran. And I recited the first verse. And the first verse of this ayah is very much connected to the topic that we are going to discuss in the weeks to come. Allah Almighty says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. They ask you about the spoils of war. This word يَسْأَلُونَكَ has been used a few times throughout the Quran. And basically, what follows after يَسْأَلُونَكَ is a question that has been posed by the Sahaba to the Nabi of Allah. For example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ. They ask you about the moon. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. They ask you about the cycle that a lady experiences on a monthly basis. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They ask you about alcohol and gambling, so on and so forth. Likewise, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. Once again, Allah Almighty uses the word يسألونك. They ask you verbally or physically. They ask you anil anfal, about the spoils of war. Basically, these ayat came to guide the Sahaba after the first combat known as the Battle of Badr. There were many Sahaba that were debuted by the Nabi of Allah to be in Muqaddamatul Jaysh, in the front lines. And there were many that were protecting the goods behind. So physically they were not fighting. So there were groups of Sahaba that were regrouped by the Nabi of Allah and designated at different areas. So after the battle came to an end and Allah granted victory to the Sahaba, there was a dispute that took place amongst the Sahaba that who will take the spoils of war. So those that were in the front lines, Muqaddamatul Jaysh, they made a very strong argument that we put our life on the line. So we should get a very huge portion of the spoils of war. The people that did not physically participate in the combat but were designated by the Prophet of Allah at the back taken care of the goods, they said that the Nabi of Allah told us to do this. So we should be given spoils of war as you are given the spoils of war. So there was a slight misunderstanding amongst the Sahaba. That entire episode has been captured in the first verse of Surah Anfal. Now I will translate and you will understand, because we have spoken about the background. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. They ask you about the spoils of war. قُلِ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. O Nabi of Allah, you should say that the spoils of war are for Allah and the Rasul. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear Allah. وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. And adjust all matters of difference among you. And adjust all matters of difference among you. Meaning that whatever differences you have, do not allow it to excel. Right there and then, address the matter and remove the differences. Basically, this is the translation of Surah Anfal, verse number 1. I would like to attach another ayah to this ayah, and then we will construct our discussion of brotherhood. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah Almighty, and Surah Al-Hujurat is the 49th surah of the glorious Quran, verse number 10 is a very principal verse when it comes to brotherhood. Allah Almighty says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى فَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ فَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. That the believers are nothing but brothers. The relationship that one believer has with another, it is known as ikhwa, akhuwa. There's no other relationship that we have. Indeed, there can be a higher relationship than ikhwa. That is fatherhood. That is motherhood. Husband and wife. Biological brothers, but there can be no relationship amongst believers that is less than akhuwa. So there is no relationship that is less than akhuwa. There can be a relationship that is greater than that, but not less than that. So Allah Almighty says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. The believers are nothing but brothers. And immediately Allah says, فَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. So make reconciliation between brothers. Now verse number 1 Surah Anfal and verse number 10 Surah Hujurat speak about brotherhood. But in the same ayah, Allah speaks about reconciliation. Basically Allah is saying that if you are brothers, you will have difference of opinions. If you are brothers, it does not negate the fact that you will have differences. Biological brothers, they have differences. The brother that you cannot live without, you will have a difference with him in a certain matter. So how do we address this? So we go back to Surah Anfal, verse number 1. Allah says, adjust all your matters of difference. Sit down and address the matters. Do not allow time to heal the matters. Because many a times time allows the venom that has made it into the relationship to poison the entire relationship. Sometimes we wait for a miracle to take place that will allow the relationship to come back to normality. But many a times, time is what the devil needs. He will inject further venom into that relationship. And many a times he will use people that will enhance the discord in that relationship. So it is most important that as believers, we are transparent. We should not be hiding anything in our heart. If there is a difference amongst two people, they should come sit down and discuss the matter and try to resolve the matter rather than sit on the matter. Because sitting and waiting for a miracle will not be the right approach in the light of Quran and in the light of Hadith, as we will make mention in a few moments. Now I would like to make mention in support of these two ayat, a few ahadith. But before we go to the ahadith, I would like to make mention of the story that has been made mention by many mufassirun, many scholars of Quran, in relation to a fragment of the first ayah of Surah Anfal. Allah Almighty says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. Sahaba had a difference of opinion in relation to the spoils of war. Allah said, adjust all matters of difference that go to Allah and the Rasul, and they will designate, stipulate the set portions that people should receive. Under this fragment of ayah, the Mufassirun have made mention that on the Day of Judgment, and many a times people say that how does the Nabi of Allah speak about a event that is to take place in the future and it does not exist, because we are in the present. So Nabi Akram ﷺ says that this was happening to a person in Jannah, or this was happening to a person in hell. People have not made it into paradise yet, and people have not made it into hell yet. So how is the Nabi of Allah discussing that, that has not come from non-existence into existence yet? Does it make sense? So many a time you read ahadith pertaining to events that are going to take place in paradise. So Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Mi'raj, he went and he found that people were enjoying the bliss of Jannah. Enjoying the bliss of Jannah. Many people, they were being tortured in hell. Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I recognize the people, male and females. So how is that a possibility? So just drifting away from the topic, but it is something important, so the shaitan does not allow our mind to drift away from the principles of our faith, from the foundation of our faith. We say as Muslims that everything that is going to happen, or has happened, or is happening, or is going to happen, happens in the bubble of time. It happens in the bubble of time. I use the word bubble. So if we visualize, this is time. This is a bubble. Everything that is going to happen in time. Allah is the creator of time that sits above time. Allah is the creator of time and He sits above time. Does it make sense? Everything that is going to happen in the past, in the present, in the future, happens in this bubble. But Allah is not restricted to time. Allah is the creator, the khaliq of waqt, of time. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Allah is the creator. So He sits above time. So Allah can see what is going to happen in time. And if Allah wills, He can remove the veil that does not allow us to see what is going to happen in the future. Or what is going to happen in the future. So what Allah Almighty did is that He removed the veil from the bubble of time that was pertaining to the future, and the Nabi of Allah could witness what is going to happen in the future. Does it make sense? So this is how the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us about events that are going to take place in the future. Because Allah can see everything. Everything has been played out, and Allah knows how it is going to play out. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, on the Day of Judgment there are going to be two people. One is going to be the perpetrator of the crime, and one is going to be the one that was wrong done. The oppressor and the oppressed. The wrongdoer and the wrong done. So the mazloom, the wrong done person, will say, Ya Allah, Maliki Yawmiddin, this is the Day of Judgment, the Day of Justice. This person wronged me. Now this was a person that did not only wrong him, but he wronged many people. But at the same time, he did a lot of good. But as we know that in the light of the ahadith, a certain person or a particular person that does a lot of good, but a lot of bad as well, will basically be destitute on the Day of Judgment. So the wrong done people before this one will be taking all his good deeds. So he won't be left with much now. So he will be standing there, and then this last person, this mazloom, wrong done person, will say, "Ya Allah, he is the perpetrator of the crime. He has wrong done me. He's a zalim. I'm a mazloom." So according to the norm, Allah will say that give good deeds for the wrong that you have done. The angel will say, "Ya Allah, he has no good deeds. He has no good deeds." So Allah's mercy and raham comes to the rescue of this zalim. So the mazloom, he looks upwards and he sees a beautiful house right above him. The glitter, the glow, the beauty that is on display is mind-boggling. He's blown away, mesmerized by the beauty. And he says, "Ya Allah," he forgets about the case, and he says, "Ya Allah, most probably this house belongs to the Anbiya. This house belongs to the Anbiya." Allah Almighty will say, "No, this house can belong to you as well. This house can be given to you." He says, "Ya Allah, how can this house be given to me?" He says, "Forgive the person, and in return Allah will forgive you. Forgive the person. Don't worry about taking his good deeds or transferring your evil deeds into his account. Just forgive him. No claim should be made any further." He says, "Ya Allah, if I forgive, will I receive that house?" "Yes, it is your house." So he says, "I forgive." And now he starts to walk. Now, forgiving is not the complete process of reconciliation. Forgiving is not the complete process of reconciliation. No, no. So he walks away, he has forgiven. Now he's walking away, Allah says, "No." He said, "You just forgave him. Now present it by practice that you have forgave him. Hold his hand and take him with you. Not only forgive and walk away." No, that does not complete the process of reconciliation. Forgive him, hold his hand, and take him into Jannah with you. And that's what happens. So the scholars have made mention of this story under verse number 1, Surah Anfal, that it is most important that we reconcile, but then we take it to the next level where we meet each other as well, where we try to develop a healthy relationship. I will speak about, I'm running out of time, next week, that there are certain people in our life that we cannot construct a healthy relationship because it is damaging to our well-being. And we understand that there are certain people you can't get along with. We will speak about that next week. But if there is a person that you can get along with him after reconciliation. Because Allah Almighty says, "Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa," that the believers, the relationship that is between them is the relationship of brotherhood. So anything that damages this brotherhood, we should try to abstain from it. I'm going to conclude on one statement of the Nabi of Allah, and we have run out of time. I'm going to try to be very punctual with my time, inshallah, in the future, because people have to go back to work. Ubadah bin Samith radiallahu ta'ala, and he reports, the hadith has been recorded by Imam Ahmad in Musnad Ahmad, and Imam Tabarani has recorded as well, that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Ala ukhbirukum bi afdal min darajati siyam was sala was sadaqa." Should I not inform you of something that is more excellent in degree than praying, than fasting, and than charity? Praying basically is ummul ibadat. It is the mother of all worship, praying. But the Nabi of Allah, what does he say? "Should I not inform you of something that is greater in degree, in excellence, then fasting and sadaqah and salah. So immediately the Sahaba says, Bala, why not Ya Rasulullah? Inform us of a action that is greater than that in degree. So the Nabi of Allah says, Salahu dhatil bayn. Put things right between people. Put things right between people. فَإِنَّ فَسَادَ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ هِيَ الْحَالِقَةِ. Or كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, the hadith is in Tirmizi. At that time, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that discord between people is destructive. And not only destructive to the two that are in the ring of destruction, but destructive to the community. It has a trickle effect, a widespread effect. So that's why wherever we study in the Quran, or in many places in the Quran, wherever Allah speaks about brotherhood, immediately speaks about the obvious, and that is dispute between brothers, that address the dispute by reconciliation. And then the story that I gave, reconciliation is not restricted to shaking hands and walking away. No. Then we have to build the relationship as well. So if you find anyone in your homes, in your neighborhood, in your congregation, in your city, in your extended family, that are in that ring of haliqa, destruction, be that person that can put things right between them, and inshallah you will get a reward that is greater in excellence in degree than salah, siyam and sadaqah. Inshallah we will do that. Allah Rabbul Izzah give us tawfiq. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. MashaAllah.